Marley Matlin. The bleep.
Think about all the fuss and the phenomenon.
What the fuck, man? It's a phenomenon, as you said. What word can I say about this film? It's awesome. I'm really proud of everyone who's been involved in this film. Will, Betsy, and you, Mark, everyone who made this film. I remember when we did this film in Portland, and I was thinking to myself, how is this going to work? But from the start to the end, you guys had faith in the project. You knew that it was going to be a phenomenon, a blockbuster of independent films. And
tell me about some of the fans and what they taught you about.
Fans? There are mucho fans. Mucho, mucho fans. Any time of day, anywhere I go, anyone I walk up to, day or night, people come up to me and say, what the bleep? And I say, yes. And they say, oh my God, I saw the film 2 times. What the bleep? I said, yes. Oh my God, I saw the film 10 times. Every time I see the film, we go to get coffee afterwards and we talk for hours and hours and discuss the film. Everyone says that. From the busboy to the flight attendant on the plane, it's amazing. I'm just amazed.
So what do you think it is that's touched people from your perspective?
It's touched a lot of people because it's almost like an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener for people. It's a very brave and straightforward message. And it's there, and that's unusual. A lot of people don't want to look at themselves, or at least they haven't been willing to look at themselves. People were living in complete denial. But this film, and once you see this film, once you listen to this film, you understand, oh, it makes you think. And oh, we need to have a discussion. And oh, we need to see it again and have more discussions. And you slowly open up to the messages in the film. It's almost like creating a new you.
You did something very brave in the film. You know, the scene in front of
you. Really?
Oh, really?
I wonder.
Why did you decide to go for it? Because I know at first you had reservations, but in the end you decided to go for it. Just let's talk a bit about your experience. You know, you and I had that big argument. I eventually, you know, blackmailed you and manipulated you into doing this. Why did you?
Well, you, Mark Vicente, gave me no choice. You held my paycheck behind my head and said, you can't get this until you do this scene. No, it actually, in all honesty, it was one of the most difficult jobs I have ever done in my entire career. That scene. I've done tough scenes. I've had scenes where I've had to pull out emotions from the bottom of me and memorize lines. But this one scene was nothing in comparison to the other things that I've done. I decided to just go for it. Because first, it was part of the film, it was part of my character, and it was part of me, Marley, as well. There was part of this, and I took advantage of this. The part of me, Marley, that was part of this character's scene. I lost sleep for 2 weeks over this scene, prior to doing it. And I never slept better afterwards.
So, a lot of women's lives have been touched by seeing that. And people have learned to love themselves in ways they never had before. How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I'm extremely proud that I was able to, quote, entertain and show women out there who, just like me, could not accept themselves, their bodies, their looks, the little things about themselves, whether it's their personality, whatever makes up their lives, identifying with all women. We all identify together. If a woman said she doesn't identify with this scene, she's lying. If she said, oh, I'm 100% fine with who I am, I think it's bullshit. Total bullshit. I would understand if a woman said, I accept myself the way I am, then I would say, fine, that's right.
You said to me that you know how to create reality, you said to me. Because you said to me that you created
Well, my existence is the best example of creating your own reality. Doesn't that make sense?
Tell us.
Well, growing up deaf, people have a different conception of how or who you should be. You're deaf, we should feel sorry for you. You need extra attention. You need extra schooling. You need extra care. You need to be looked after. Poor thing, she's deaf. And for myself, I looked at it in a normal way. I had and decided I would have a happy childhood. I accepted the way I was, the person I was. I was a deaf person. Becoming a woman. And when I became that woman, it was an entirely different thing for me. I still, every day, try to accept and understand the different things that are within me, and I have a great deal more to accept, to incorporate.
How did you, with the odds against you, I mean, you were, you know, this deaf actress, with the odds against you, how did you win an Oscar?
Well, when I auditioned for Children of Lesser God, I was 19 years old. And at the time that I was auditioning for the film, they had already been looking for people for 2 years to play this part. They were using people who had already established themselves in the deaf community, big names in the deaf community. And then I came into the picture, and all hell broke loose. People said, who the hell is Marley Matlin? She's just a girl from Chicago, Illinois. She just got out of high school. And it just so happened that they liked my work, the way I looked, whatever it was. And everyone held their breath until they saw the film. They were watching me like hawks. And I was completely oblivious to what was going on out there. I was oblivious to fans. I was oblivious to the deaf community outside of Chicago. I was oblivious to Hollywood. I was more worried about getting my lines right. I was more worried about my boyfriend at the time. And then I finished the film and went to summer school at the National Theater of the Deaf in Connecticut. And I couldn't complete my schooling there, their coursework there. I mean, it was like the last week. I was called by Paramount to go do publicity. I'm thinking, okay, whatever. But they told me to do it. I went to do it. It's part of my contract. The people didn't get it. And when I left, I started to feel some sort of hostility. And when I got the nomination for the Academy Award, people were complimentary because there was this part of the deaf community that was proud that a deaf person was being recognized for their work. That I had won a nomination. Great. But what happened was not only did I have to deal with the odds that are against me from the hearing community, I got it from the deaf community. Because when I announced the names of the winners the following year after I won the Oscar, I decided that I would say the names because
I do speak, and nobody knew that. All my life, not yesterday, not 3 years ago, I wanted to talk. I wanted to say all the names, and I did. And the right person came up and got his Oscar, Michael Douglas.
And the day after I did that, all hell broke loose once again, because there was a segment of the community that thought I was trying to indicate to parents of children who were deaf that my speaking was an example to them that they should speak and not sign. This is not something that I had thought of at all. This was, again, labels put on me by other people. And I found out, you know what, I can't please other people. I can't please the fans. I can only please myself. I've learned to let go. I've learned to love what I do. I've learned to take care of myself. I've learned to take care of my family. And take care of myself, I guess I said. That's the most important thing I can do.
There were... I know what your most frightening scene in this film was. And there are scenes in this film that you have an absolute sense or a look of calm about you. There are moments in the theater when you left the theater, when the character Amanda leaves the theater, when she's sitting on that bench and she wakes up in the morning and you have this incredible sense of calm about you. What were you thinking about? How did you get there?
Well, perhaps at the time when we were shooting that scene is when I learned to grow up, or perhaps I was actually growing up and learning to accept myself during the making of the film, all the shit that I had within me. And I learned to accept it, and I learned to sort of let it go.
So you had some kind of transformation during the film?
Absolutely I did. I always do during any film, but in this film I always did. And during your film, absolutely. Every day I came to the set, I was very cranky. You saw me plenty of times. And other times I was happy, and I was happy-go-lucky Marley. Because I felt good as a result of what we did. And those days when I was cranky was because I was struggling with whatever issues were happening at the time. Again, what better time to do this film than... I mean, I'm so grateful for this film. I'm so grateful that I was part of it. I'm so grateful that I got to do it.